Hey, good morning. How you doing today? Great to see you. Well, today I want to kick off a brand new series. So excited about this. I have been wanting to preach this message to you for 6 months, so I hope you are ready today. Amen? Well, several months ago, I had an opportunity to go to a real estate investment seminar, and one of my hobbies is real estate, and so I was really excited about this. It was from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. I mean, they just wear you out, you know, with real estate. And I showed up the first day, and the guy started talking about your mindset and your attitude and taking risk and how you think and all this kind of stuff. And I was writing stuff down for a few minutes, and I was like, I want to hear about real estate, man. I came to the real estate seminar. I didn't come to, you know, just pat myself on the back, you know. I mean, I want to talk about real estate. And it went on for about a day, and I was kind of frustrated. I went back the next day, and we started talking about real estate. And then as the seminar concluded on the fourth day, I realized what he was doing. I realized that it was so important to talk about mindset and to talk about attitudes and beliefs and risk and all this other stuff, because you will never be a successful investor if you don't have the right mentality. And I thought, you know what? That's very true in the Christian existence, isn't it? If you don't think accordingly, if you don't think the way that God wants you to think, you will never achieve the purposes that he's put before you. Colossians says we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, but we have to learn to operate and to think with the mind of Christ. And so over the next few weeks, I want to unpack for you some powerful principles related to our mindset and how we think, because that has everything to do with what we do. Because everything we do, we have to think about first, right? So today I want to talk to you about your mindset. And I've got a message I want to share with you today called Don't Stop, Don't Settle. Don't stop, don't settle, because our mindset matters. And here's the big idea of this entire message, and you ought to write this down on the top of your notes. If I won't stop and if I won't settle, I will be blessed. If I won't stop and if I won't settle, I will be blessed. That's our mindset for today. Our character this morning is a man by the name of Tira. Anybody here ever heard of Tira in the Bible? Yeah. None of us. Okay, great. Awesome. Then I know I got a fresh word from God for you. Tira is somebody that you've never heard of for a reason, because he's just not mentioned in the Bible that much. But his son is Abraham, and I know many of you have heard of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Christian faith. He's the father of Judaism and the Muslim faith, too. He's the father of faith. Everybody's heard of Abraham, Father Abraham. And Abraham's father is Terah, and the reason Terah is important is because his son was Abraham. And Abraham was also known as the friend of God. And anybody who was a friend of God, I want to know about their life, right? He was the friend of God. But his father was Terah, and they lived in a place called Ur. Everybody say Ur. Ur does not sound like a very sophisticated place, does it? Where are you from? I'm from the town of Ur, yeah. But believe it or not, it was actually a very sophisticated place in the ancient world in the time of Abraham. There was, you know, a university there, a big library, like big temples, lots of jobs. It was a really happening place. It's modern day Iraq, Ur, off the Euphrates River. And one day, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I need you to move from the big city where it's all happening and it's all going on. I want you to go to the land of Canaan, which is 1,000 miles away. Look with me, if you would, in Genesis 11, 31 and 32. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out for Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So Terah is this man, he's living in Ur with his son Abram, and according to Acts chapter 7, God speaks to Abram and tells him to get up and to move from this really awesome place called Ur to go to the land of Canaan. And if you get out a little map, you notice that Canaan is 1,000 miles from Ur, 1,000-mile journey. By the way, people in the ancient world did not move a whole lot for good reason. You didn't load your stuff in a pod and have it delivered on your driveway of your new house, right? I mean, it was dangerous. It was expensive. You had to walk or ride camels. And Abram and his father, Terah, going across a desert, you know? And I mean, this was not pleasant. But you notice in the scripture, the Bible says that he was called to go to a place called Canaan, which we know is modern-day Israel, the Holy Land. But he stopped in a place called Haran. Everybody say Haran. Haran. And Haran is 600 miles from Ur, but it's 400 miles from the land of Canaan. In other words, Terah stopped about 60% of the way. He did half of what God had told him to do. And he got satisfied with that. I'll do 60%. If you made a 60 on a test over at the university, you wouldn't feel too good about that, right? Yeah. I'm going to do half of what God said. And then sadly enough, in verse 32 of Genesis 11, it says, and Terah, he stopped and then he died. And that's the last that we know about the guy. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. He stopped, he settled, and he died, you know. On to the next character. Because he stopped in the middle of his destiny. Did you know? God has a destiny for your life. God has a destiny for your family. God has a destiny for our church. God has a plan. But in order for us to reach the objective that God has set before us, we cannot stop halfway. We cannot stop in the middle of what God has called us to do. In other words, Terah turned his pit stop into a permanent home. It was a place he should have gotten a candy bar and a soda and gone to the bathroom and kept moving. And instead, he spent the rest of his life there. And our family, our favorite pit stop is Hayes, Kansas. Anybody ever been to Hayes before? Yeah, well, I hope that the Lord never calls me to live in Hayes, Kansas. Hayes, Kansas does have a Starbucks and a gas station there, though. It's a great pit stop. It's a great place to stop for a few minutes, not a place I would want to live. And Abram and Terah turned their pit stop into a palace. It became the place that they stopped. Interestingly enough, the place Haran means parched. It's in the middle of a desert. Kind of makes sense, right? The land of Canaan is described as the land that's flowing with milk and honey, the place of abundance. And when we stop in the middle of God's destiny in our life, we will settle for a desert when God has a very fertile place for us. So he stopped and he settled in the middle of where God had called him to do. You know, the Bible is full of people who lost their destiny. Maybe some of us today have lost our destiny and you want to get it back today. I hope that you do. Adam and Eve lost their destiny, didn't they? In the Garden of Eden, God said, you can eat of whatever you want to, just don't touch that one tree. They lost their destiny. Esau lost his destiny. He traded his birthright for a little bowl of porridge, of soup, and lost his destiny. God had a great plan, sold it out, did part of what God said to do. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, God had a destiny for their life. They missed it because they offered strange fire before the Lord. They worshiped other gods and they missed their destiny. They missed it. They missed it. Israel lost their destiny, wandering in the wilderness 40 years looking for the land of promise, waiting on God to direct them. So how do we begin to get that destiny back? The Bible says, first of all, we have to refuse to stop. In other words, don't stop. Don't stop. Look at that verse again in verse 31 of Genesis 11. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And the word came means stop. He stopped there. He started well. How many of us in the Christian life start with a bang? We are running, 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 running. But just because you start well does not mean you will necessarily finish well. And he stopped. He stopped. Now, we got to give Tara some kudos for heeding the call of God. It's hard to leave. It's hard to travel. It's hard to move, is it not? But he didn't finish what God had said. So he stopped. He stopped in the middle of his destiny. I wonder why he stopped. You know, sometimes we stop in the middle of the plan of God. We get off to that great start and we stop. Maybe it's that he got comfortable and maybe he thought, I'm just going to stay a couple of nights here in Haran and water the camels and keep moving, but it became familiar. Maybe it reminded him of his relatives back in Ur, you know? Just became familiar. Maybe he got there and he was like, my kids like the schools and the people are friendly and somebody offered me a job. I'll just stick around, right? Sometimes the reason that we stop is we get distracted, right? We're looking at the Lord and then something else comes along. Oh my goodness, over here. Whoa, over here. And if we're not careful, we can be distracted from God's purposes. Maybe he just got tired. Has anybody here ever gotten tired doing the will of God? You're praying about something, you're believing God for something, and it's not happening like you thought, and you just get weary. Maybe traveling 2 to 3 years, many biblical commentators believe, through the desert, you'd be tired too. And so he stopped. He stopped in the land of Haran, halfway to his destiny, halfway to his purpose, halfway to the place that God had purposed him to go. How do we stay fresh? I believe one of the most important things we have to do to not get weary in the journey is we have to obey the Sabbath principle. And a lot of people think today, I don't need to rest. But you know, even God rested on the seventh day. And if God needed a rest, I know you do too. And in the Hebrew culture, the Sabbath day was a day where there was no work and there was worship. I think a lot of people get this mixed up. A lot of people realize I need to take a break. Fewer people realize I need to worship God. Because when you worship God, what does it do? It refuels you, right? It re-energizes you. I talk to people sometimes. They're like, Pastor, I'm too tired to come to church. And I'm like, are you crazy? Church is like your caffeine for the week. So the Sabbath is a day where we rest, and it's a day where we worship. And worship is rest. I hope you believe that. I hope when you come to these doors, you're like, oh, I want to hear from God. I want to get refocused. I want to take a deep breath and quit thinking about all my crazy kids and things I got to do when I get home. I just want to worship God. And for an hour, I want to just hear from the Lord and be refreshed. Be refreshed. When you do that, you won't stop. A lot of people are stopping today because they get tired in the journey. You get tired. Just get tired. Maybe he lost his faith or just got distracted. But for whatever reason, he started well, but he didn't finish. You know, in the Greek Olympics games, the early Greek Olympic games, they had a relay race called the Greek Torch Race. And the tradition was kind of reestablished in 1936 when they had the Berlin Games, when they instituted the torch. You know how they light everything? Well, that's rooted in Greek history. They had a relay in which the torch would be passed to different runners. But see, the key was not just to be the team that finished the race the fastest. You had to finish the race the fastest, but also finish with your torch lit. And if your flame was extinguished, you were disqualified from the race. So you had to run fast, but you had to run smart. Amen? I believe that's a beautiful picture of the Christian life. We want to run and do as much as we can for God, but we want to have the flame that is lit and that cannot be extinguished. And that requires us to rest sometimes. It requires us to, man, to refocus and get with God in those special moments. Maybe you've been praying about that special something, man. And I want to just encourage you today. Don't stop. Don't stop. Many of you are doing the will of God. You're doing some awesome things, but you're tempted to quit because you're discouraged. Don't give up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. I believe one of the greatest things we can do is just continue doing what we're already doing. Amen? It's one thing to talk about change, and sometimes we do need to make some changes, but sometimes we need to just keep doing the will of God and keep doing what we know is right. Don't stop. And Tira stopped halfway to his destiny, halfway. But notice the verse again in verse 31. It says not only did he stop, but he also settled. When they came to Haran, they, say it with me, they settled there. They settled. They stopped and they settled. I wonder how many times we settle for things. Things aren't really going the way they're supposed to be going, and we get discouraged, and we stop, and we settle. The word settle means really to like lower the bar. The bar was set here, and I'm going to settle, and I'm just going to move the bar down here, right? I settled. No Christian guys are asking me out on dates, some of the ladies think. So I'll just date a guy that's not a Christian, but he'll go to church from time to time. Let me just lower the bar. Let me just settle. He stopped and he settled. He lost his vision of what God had called him to do. He did what was comfortable and easy. And if you're going to follow the Lord, there's going to be some seasons in your life. It is not comfortable. But he settled. He settled. I wonder how many times we settle spiritually by saying, you know what, I already kind of know enough about God. Maybe I don't know as much as I should know about God. Maybe I'm not as close to God as I should be, but I know enough and I'm settled. I'm settled. I'm a good person, and I know I'm a good person because I'm not as bad as she is. Right? We compare ourselves to the least common denominator, you know? I'm not all I should be, but I don't do what he does. Settled. And there's a difference between contentment and being settled. Contentment is resting in God and being joyful about what you have. Paul said, I've learned to be content in all things. Contentment is good. There's a difference between being content and being settled. When you're settled, it means you don't have a desire to grow or to pursue God or to do anything extra or to put forth any effort. You just want to take the path of least resistance. So God wants us to be content. He just doesn't want us to settle, right? Man, I hope you have a vision for your life. I hope you have a purpose for your life. I hope you have some goals for your life. If you don't have some, you need to find some today. It honors God. Don't stop and don't settle. Don't stop and don't settle. The consequences of that is delayed timing. I mean, Abram wasted all these years in the land of Haran. We don't know how many years, but a long time. I wonder how many of us, our destiny has been put on hold because we stopped and we settled. Abram didn't have the child of promise, Isaac, till the age of 100 years old. I've often wondered how, and not only how did he have a child at 100, but also why did God have him have a child at 100? Could it be that God was waiting on Abram instead of Abram waiting on God? See, if you're waiting on the Lord, you got to ask yourself the question, have I stopped and settled? And if I've stopped and settled, what do I need to do to get back in the game, to get back into my destiny, back into the things that God's called me to do? My little kids last year signed up for a little track club at school. and they were in first and second grade at the time. I was so pumped. I loved track and field. I went to a small Texas high school, and I was a state champion, and I love track and field. I just love it. I had my big stopwatch out at the track meet, my visor, my glass. I mean, I was totally in it. I gave a pre-meet speech to my kids that, I mean, it had them ready to win the Olympics. It was awesome. I was like, you're going to stalk them down. You're going to start like this. You're going to finish. You're going to lean in. You know, I was just giving it to them, you know. My kids were like, okay, Dad, you know. The first time they've ever done any running. So my little girl, she's first grade, she gets in a heat with four little girls, and the gun goes off. It's the 400 meters. It's one lap. And she gets on the back stretch, and she's, you know, sort of close to, you know, the first or second kid. She's about third place at the time, but she's looking good, you know, and it's okay. And she stops and ties her shoe. I'm going crazy. I'm one of those parents, you know. I'm like, no! And so there's kind of a bigger kid that's behind her, and the kid passes, you know, so now she's in last. So she gets her shoe tied, and she goes into the next curve, and she's pouring it on. She's looking awesome. I mean, she's like killing it. And she passes the one kid that was already in last place that passed her when she stopped to tie her shoe. And then she just started jogging. And I'm like, is she tired or, like, what's going on? So I'm screaming even louder at this point. I'm starting to embarrass myself. I'm going crazy. I'm like, run! You know, and she's looking over, waving at people, you know, and just kind of prancing along, like, hey, here I am, you know. And I'm like, run! And I really felt like she was fast enough to beat the first two kids, but she was in third place. Then she looks over her shoulder just right before the finish line, and she sees that she's got a comfortable lead ahead of the last kid. And she gets third out of fourth place. And so after the little thing, I talked to her. I said, Bryn, why didn't you run a little harder? She said, well, Dad, I just wanted to run fast enough to not get last. I said, honey, if you get third place because the other two kids were faster, you can't do anything about that. But don't you want to run as fast as you can and see if you can win? And she said, Dad, I'll really think about that. In the Christian life, sometimes we run to just not get last. We settle. We settle for second, third, fourth, fifth place, as long as I'm not last. And that's what Tira did, man. He just settled in Haran. It was never the place that God wanted him to be, and yet he stayed there the rest of his life. And he never reached his goal, and he never fulfilled his purpose, and he never finished what God had said for him to do. He delayed, and he stayed. We need some parents today that want to raise the bar in the home. You know, being a parent today is a tough thing, isn't it? It's a challenging thing. We need to not be lowering the bar. We need to be esteeming the bar. We need to be lifting the bar for our kids, don't we? You know, a lot of parents today are like, man, it's the 21st century. I can't teach sexual morals and ethics to kids, so I'll just lower the bar and hope for the best. Let's hold the bar high, parents. Let's challenge our kids to walk in the ways of God and to do the things of God. Let's stop lowering the bar. Let's raise the bar according to God's standard. Amen? We will find our destiny when we do that. We will find it. Some of you, God's put in your heart a dream in your business. And you're like, I really want to start my own business, but it's going to be hard, and I'm nervous, and I don't know if I can do it. Raise the bar. Don't lower the bar. Walk in the purposes and the plans that God has. God has a destiny for your life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Don't stop in Haran. Go on to Canaan. Press on. Even when you're tired, even when you're weary, even when you're uncertain, keep serving God. Keep walking in His ways. Keep doing His purposes and see what the Lord will do in your life. Maybe it's that one sin in our life and we're like, man, I've struggled with this for years and years and years. I don't think it could ever be any different. Let me just lower the bar. A lot of marriages today are lowering the bar. A lot lot of people today don't believe that their marriage could ever be healthy and happy. So what we do is we just try to exist and just try to make it through, you know? We don't want to do the things necessary to try to develop that intimacy and that connectivity and that vitality in the relationship. I don't even know if it's possible. Let me just lower the bar. God says, no, 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 raise the bar. When you raise the bar, that's when you hit your purpose. That's when you reach your destiny. Don't stop and don't settle. Don't stop and don't settle. Don't stop and don't settle. I don't know if you noticed this, but I had some salad dressing up here. Anybody know what kind of dressing this is? It's Italian, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of murky, isn't it? You always know Italian dressing because it settles. And if you notice down here on the bottom, you can see like the peppers and the onions and the garlic and the other spices that kind of give it that zing, you know? And then on the top, you have the oil. And this stuff settles very quickly. It's like, boom. You never use Italian dressing without what? You got to shake it. You got to shake. You got to give it some motion, right, to get that thing to taste right. If you just drank a little, if you just poured the oil on your salad, how would that taste? Yeah, it'd be kind of like, you know? Yeah. And if you just took a spoon and you stuck it down in there and just grabbed the spices, it might be a little bit too powerful, right? But it's beautiful when you get the oil and the spices all mixed together. Woo! That's some good stuff. Jason, come on up here and help me a little bit. This is a lot of salad dressing right here. We're going to be eating this for the next few months at the Heller household. Grab that thing. There's not very many people in the church I trust to hold this salad dressing. So what begins to happen when we're about to use the salad dressing is we have to have some movement, don't we? And when we have that movement, then what happens? It begins to shake just a little bit. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Is that looking better? Look at that. Yeah. Now it's starting to settle again. In the Christian life, we have a tendency to settle, but the way that we keep our life from settling is with activity. In other words, I'm walking with God. So as I'm walking with God, then there is activity, there is movement, there is motion. When I stop and I settle, then everything begins to get out of kilter and out of proportion. But when I start walking with God and I've got my prayer life in order and my worship life in order and I'm doing the things that God has put before me, it begins to shake things up in my life and it begins to get my life on purpose. And that's why I love Italian salad dressing right there, Jason.
That's it.
That's awesome. You can put it right there. Give it up for Jason here. We need activity. We need activity. We need motion. We need to not be settled. We need to keep moving, to keep everything in proportion as to what God has for us. So there's activity. I read a story this week about a donkey. He fell into a pit, and he was the master's favorite animal. And so the master was like, I got to get my donkey. And so he's tried for hours to pull the donkey out of the pit, but they couldn't get him. He was too deep down, you know, in the pit. He couldn't get him out. So he thought, I'll just bury him. And he took his shovel and he started to bury the donkey. And he just would, you know, take a shovel full of dirt and pour it on the donkey. And then the donkey would just kind of shake it off a little bit. And then the donkey had his feelings hurt. You would too, right? I mean, I thought the master cared about me. And now he's treating me like that. Pouring dirt on my head. Man, what's the deal? So he began to shake. He began to shake it off. And the donkey realized after a few hours of this that he could also take a step. So he would shake and then he would step. And every time that some more dirt was poured on his head, it gave him another step towards exiting the pit that he had been incarcerated in. And a few hours later, he was grazing in those green pastures. I wonder how many times when we get dirt poured on our heads that we have a tendency to stop and to be buried. But instead, God wants us to shake and to step. To shake and to step. And to take that step into our destiny and into the plan that God has for us. As the story unfolds a little bit more, we see that Terah dies at the age of 205. People lived to be a lot older in the old times, didn't they, in the Bible? But in chapter 12, a new character emerges. It's Abraham, Abram, the son of Terah. The father has died. What is Abram going to do? Abram says, I want to finish what God has said for me to do. I believe that there are many of us here today that are taking steps of faith that your parents never took. You're going places with God that your parents never went. And Abram says, I want to finish. Where's that map? I want to finish off these last 400 miles, and I want to get to the land of Canaan because that's the place that God had instructed me to go. And that's what he does. Look at this in chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And notice these six promises. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abram went as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still get back in sync with your purpose. At the age of 75, Abraham says, I'm going to finish what God has said for me to do. And I love this first part because it says, if you notice in verse 1, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. In other words, Abram had to separate. He had to separate himself from his family. He had to separate himself from his friends. He had to separate himself from so many things. You will never walk in the purposes and the plan of God if you're not willing to separate. To separate. Sometimes it's separating ourselves from different attitudes. Sometimes it's separating ourselves from certain relationships. Sometimes it's separating ourselves even geographically to do the purposes of God. Some of you have moved to Colorado and you're like, man, I miss home and I miss my family and I wish I was in so-and-so. But it's part of the plan of God. And you can't fulfill your destiny if you are not willing to move and to separate. But he says here, Abram, I'm going to bless you like crazy. There were six examples of God's blessing in Abraham's life. See, and this is where this all comes together. When you don't stop and when you don't settle, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. When you don't stop and you don't settle, God will bless your life. Now, sometimes we talk about blessings, and most of the time we think about blessings, we're like, I have a hot wife, hashtag blessed, you know? I drive an amazing sports car, hashtag blessed, you know? I've got this money in the bank, hashtag blessed. Have you ever seen somebody who took a picture of themselves, lost my job today, hashtag blessed? Most of the time, we don't associate that like with the blessings, right? We're like, blessing has to do with like all the really good stuff that we enjoy in life. Blessed, hashtag blessed. But I want to broaden this morning our definition of being blessed. Certainly, God blessed Abraham financially. He did. And that's part of God's blessings. But that's not all of God's blessings. A lot of God's blessings are things that God does in our own heart. Like having joy. Amen? Did you know being a joyful person is you are blessed if you're joyful? What about peace in your life? There's a lot of wealthy people that would pay big money to just have a little bit of peace. So when we talk about blessed, like in the truest biblical sense, blessed is not just material gain. It is not just having great possessions. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. Now look at the life of Abraham, these six promises, and I'm just going to hit these very briefly. Number one, you'll be a great nation. The Jewish people are the only ancient people that still exist. Have you ever met a Hittite or an Amalekite? Probably not. That's the hand of God on the Jewish nation. There ain't nothing like it. Number two, I will bless you. Abraham had a ton of blessings, and he had a lot of monetary blessings in his life. Read his story. You'll have a great name. His name is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. He's in all four Gospels. He's in 11 of the 27 books of the New Testament, even though he's an Old Testament character. Abraham had a great name. A lot of people name their kids Abram or Abraham or some form of that. He says, you'll be a blessing. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so you can bless other people. Did you know this? And I'm going to talk more about this next week. When God blesses you, it's never so you can just hoard all the blessings. God blesses you so that you can bless somebody else. Amen? Is that right? So every time you feel blessed, think about what could I do to help somebody? Not just, wow, I'm just going to really just stick all this in my basement and, you know, really enjoy this. No. Blessings are to bless others. We're blessed to be a blessing. Okay? And then he says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And then number six, all the people of the earth will be blessed by you. How is that? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is one of the great grandfathers of Jesus. So we've all been blessed by the seed of Abraham because Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross and rose from the grave on the third day, came through the lineage of Abraham. And by Abraham, all of us have been blessed. God wants to bless you. Now listen, these promises are particular to Abraham. God has not promised for you that you'll be the father of a great nation. But I can tell you this, throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, people who do what God has called them to do will always be blessed. You can't go wrong with God. And you may get tired, and you may get weary, and you may get frustrated, and you may get distracted, but when you refuse to stop, and you refuse to quit, you will be blessed. There's a story about a man that saw an elephant, and the elephant was a big beast, you know, several thousand pounds. He had a rope tied around his leg, and the rope was tied to this measly stake that was just stuck in the ground. And the man inquired to the trainer, how do you keep a big monster elephant trapped with such a little measly rope? And the trainer said, when the elephant is born and just a baby, we put the same rope around his leg, and because he's so small, he can't pull away. And what he doesn't realize is that he gets older and bigger and stronger, that he would have all of the might needed to go wherever he wants to go. But because he was conditioned in his mindset to think that he would never be strong enough to do so, the rest of his life he lives entrapped. I wonder how many of us today have had that rope tied around our ankle. And we believe just because we have never achieved certain goals, or we've never done certain things for God, or we've never had certain experiences, or we've never seen our faith at a certain level, or whatever it may be, we have believed that we can never do so. It's a mindset. And nothing could be further from the truth, because with God, all things are possible. And that's why we have the mind of Christ teaching us today, telling us that if we won't stop and if we won't settle, that we will be blessed. Let's pray together.